Evening. Pastor Sean Mercer, associate pastor here, filling in for Pastor Rick, for those of you listening online. Good evening to you. If you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 4, if you would, please. John chapter 4. I'm going to look at verse 31 through 34. Familiar passage, the woman at the well, the disciples there. This evening's teaching is entitled Spiritual Purpose. So John chapter 4, verse 31 through 34. And I'll read it to you. Verse 31. So in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So again, a familiar passage, woman at the well. So set the scene a little bit, you know, midday here and been walking. And here they take a break. Disciples are in town buying some lunch and unbeknownst to them, in the midst of yet another lesson. So here they're going to learn, while they're buying food, they're also learning what satisfies and what feeds. Woman at the well as well, having interacted with Jesus by this point, where we pick it up in the story, already back in town and drawing those out to the well to see the Christ, the Messiah. And again, Jesus talking and engaging with her. And her day has obviously taken a different turn. So where we pick it up, though, here in verse 31, the disciples come back, urge him to eat. Haven't eaten anything. You know, no Uber Eats back then, so if you want food, you got to go get it yourself and hoof it back. So bring it out to him. He's resting. They go in and pick up some food and bring it out to him. And by the time they get there, he's quite well satisfied with the spiritual food that he's had. And again, they're confused about, well, what's he eating? Not because he has a food allergy or anything, just they're mindful that, well, we didn't have food, he didn't have food, he's happy with what he's been fed, and I don't see any wrappers or anything anywhere. So they're inquiring because they love him. They're traveling with him, they're mindful of him. At this point, you know, they've gone through a lot of lessons already, obviously many more to come. So maybe mindful enough to not interrogate him, but to gently ask, well, what did you get? Because maybe I want some of what you had. In verse 32, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So there is some absoluteness to that. I am not here to share with you what the disciples didn't know and I have come to know or anything. Again, it's on the surface there. I have food to eat of which you do not know. And some of that is indeed absolute to Christ. And for us to learn here, I think, is in verse 33 and 34. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him anything to eat? So again, their inquiry in verse 34, where we'll park for the evening, Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And then the second part of that verse there, and to finish his work. So obviously some of that relates to Christ himself, the Father's will for him and his life, his earthly ministry here, and then to finish the work that was set before him here on earth as only he could. But I think as an example for us, Jesus being our example, there's much here for us in, again, being fed by God's will, and because it is what's best for us, it's the highest purpose of our life, and then also to finish the work that he has for us and through us, again, that it would bless us and others around. Well, not always given to a believer, I don't think, or mindful a believer is that the spiritual side of the life that we have in Christ and being fed by him through his word to be built up in it and then to learn it and to benefit from it, not just for our admonition, but to be used as an example. both when we get it wrong, that iron might sharpen iron, and I've been there, done that. Here's what I learned from the way I got it wrong, and hopefully you'll be able to use that and help you along your way, and hopefully that's reciprocated a little bit too. And again, the food to do the will of the Father and to finish his work, to finish the work that he has set before us to do here on earth. And again, this is not a common thing, it seems, amongst believers to recognize as a spiritual thirst, as a spiritual desire to be fed and to know it, and then to be fed and nourished by God's word for his purposes. And what I mean by that is, it's not all on the people. It's just, I think, a condition of people that we see. We'll open things up as we get into the scriptures here. You know, if where Jesus is talking of his flesh to eat and his blood to drink, figuratively, metaphorically, and then people using as an excuse to turn away. The saying's too hard. Who can know it? Because we've come as far as we want to come. We've followed as much as we want to, and I think we'll get off at this point. I think I've had enough. I don't want to learn anymore. I don't want to be held to that standard anymore. Other cases would be that you just don't know. You're not taught. You don't dive into Scripture and know that there is spiritual food there to be had, as led by the Holy Spirit to feed and to nourish one. Again, man shall not live by bread alone. The nourishment that God's word brings, the Holy Spirit giving understanding and correction and instruction, and again, just the upward process of the life in Christ to, again, be used to benefit the believer, and then to be used to benefit others through the believer, and to be a part of that whole process of what God would have us to do. And I don't want to take it too literal in the sense of, you know, there's people just wandering around resisting God's word, in the sense of that they have it before them. Obviously, some do. But what I mean by being taught and having it before you, you know, when you grow up in whatever household you grow up in, and you learn things to do that are right, things to do that are wrong, you sort those things out. Well, if you grow up in a less than ideal circumstance and you learn a lot of what not to do, there comes a time where you obviously are held to your own account of you know right from wrong. So while you might attend or have not attended, again, where you want to be fed the Word of God, and as you're sorting through Scripture, maybe the teaching doesn't line up, and you're mindful that, well, there's something off here, and let me figure that out. That's a desire to serve the Lord and to understand. If you're being fed milk, then on to meat, you're able to digest it. It lines up with Scripture. You can sign off on it. And, again, the protection that brings. So, obviously speaking general, in the sense of what you see around Christianity today, what you see the church as, in the sense of, I am, as has been said from this pulpit, I am glad I'm not looking for a church, right? I do not want to have to sort through it for the sake of, because I want a house at the beach and I just want to relax and enjoy myself. I wouldn't want to go through that process, because as nice as that beach would be, and believe me, I absolutely love the beach, I would not want to have something that feeds me, have a church that feeds me, be part of a body that feeds me, be part of a body that I'm used in, and then go try to figure out where to find all of that somewhere else just for the sake of something such as, again, a comfortable living condition. I think some of that will be sorted out. I hope you're not sitting there confused by all that, in the sense of, again, you just look around. Because I don't run across in my travels and my daily life, I don't run across a lot of believers that seemingly have a hunger and thirst. You know, the whole expression of the man upstairs, and just how unfortunate that is to say it, to think that it's okay to say, and to be mindful that, well, you know, the different perspective of, he's your Father, he's your God, he's your King, he's the one that loves you. And to be seemingly in that sentence distance. Now, I'm not going to hold it against a person. in the sense of, again, of a disqualifying factor or anything. But again, just the tradition of what is okay in Christianity and what the Bible makes not okay by its scriptural teaching, and just the vast void that I think you run into, and why it's important as believers to know, again, what food is good and what food to steer away from, what food's acceptable around and sold at a lot of places, and what food actually nourishes you. Well, with that, Matthew 7:14, again, recognizing that we have a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst to exercise it and to be fed by God. Matthew 7:14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And with that, the acknowledgement that, again, as a believer, as you're born again, these things will not come natural, nor will they come easy. And the fight is very much worth it. But again, discerning what is right and what is wrong, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, again, and there are few who find it. So popularity, you know, going with the crowd, being able to discern yourself between right and wrong. And again, back to kind of the overall acknowledgement of a spiritual appetite being fed by God here in verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work, which would seem pretty straightforward. It's not a very deep passage in the sense of, again, the food being the will of the Father, us being his children and nourished by his word, and then wanting and desiring to finish the work that he has set before us, called us to do, and what we would like to see accomplished. Now, in that, with, again, the thought of narrow is the gate and difficult is the way, would lend itself to the daily realization that, well, our fight, our spiritual walk is daily. And it's going to take all of us along the way, in the sense of all of each of us, not collectively, I'm talking about the individual here, that it would take all of us to want to move into that direction and to stay that course. And again, as we see in the scriptures, especially through Paul's life, you know, that was his reality. Again, for us, just the difference in that and how he lived and what he did and how we live and what we did. Not one is lesser than the other, just a different calling at a different time in human history. But again, the acknowledgement that, well, it's going to take more than just a short passage here or there. It's going to take a bit more than just knowing a little bit of some of the Gospels. It's certainly going to take, again, to be fed, and we are dependent on food, are we not? So to be fed is to do the will of the Father, and again, to finish his work. Well, the balance of living the daily life and keeping our eyes on spiritual priorities. So the daily decisions and being on guard, daily being trained to be on guard, again, having it a priority that we would want to recognize the need for it, and to stick with it. the daily of life, you know, and just looking back, so it is nice to kind of see progress after a while, is it not? And to look back on, again, following and the mistakes, the lessons, the victories. Funnily enough, moved from our last neighborhood and went back to visit some folks and my neighbor, who was a nice enough guy, just a little different, kind of like me, and had the new people move in, and it didn't seem like they really owned a lawnmower. So he thought it would be a good idea to put up a little cut your grass sign on the lawn. It wasn't just aimed at the general street. It was one neighbor to the other. And I've really not belly laughed in a while. That was a pretty good one. Because you got to think, Okay, so what's he after here? Well, he's after trying to be a good neighbor, right? Cut your grass, I'll cut mine, you cut yours, we'll get along, you know, we'll share mower stories and et cetera. Nope. Nice little handwritten, not very big, directed right there. I mean, what are you going to achieve by that? The neighbor goes, you know, I thought there was something I was missing. I thought all those people and how they cut their grass, what odd people. I'm the only one that knows any better than they do. So it was kind of, it's just funny that, again, just the difference in perspectives and priorities and just how to handle, he's that kind of guy. I just didn't get on that side of him because I kept my grass cut for that reason. I didn't want to, didn't need to see the sign. It was just hilarious because it's just, you know, you would think if you had a neighbor, you'd just kindly mention it. Well, you need help, you know, is your mower broken? Or, you know, another polite southern way of going about getting someone to do what they don't want to do, but what's right for everyone else. But again here, pretty plain to see on the surface that Jesus is speaking of spiritual food, and again the satisfaction, and also as an example for us to follow. God's word is not simply cryptic, it's spiritual. So when we come across passages where, again, require further understanding, not to run away, not to skip over. And, you know, I know everyone has work, so that does tend to get in the way. But, again, just the desire to understand God's word because, you know, reading Revelation would be a good example. The first time you read Revelation, I'd be happy with understanding a little bit of it, but the overarching theme of we win is really enough to take away from that the first time. And then, you know, maybe that intrigues you. Maybe it's Ezekiel. Maybe it's the Gospels. But digging into God's Word where it interests and where it would feed and nourish, again, to whet the appetite to continue to do that. In John chapter 6, if you're taking notes, I'm going to read from John 6. 60 through 63, but again, back to the teaching of where Jesus is teaching on himself as the bread of life. And having fed them, having taught them, having showed them a work, and again, the crowd following. It's John chapter 6, but I'm going to read to you from the end of that chapter there. And again, just the on the surface, the words of what Jesus is speaking is, eat me, consume me, eat me, consume me. And then he presses in and he said, you will eat me and you will consume me. And that's where he loses some people, but I don't know that he loses them. More so what comes to the surface is their lack of desire to continue on with him. Verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Verse 62, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Those who wanted to learn and obey stuck around, and they also stuck at it. If we're to have spiritual appetites, it does behoove us, and thankfully for us, the Lord provides spiritual help in the way of the Holy Spirit. So again, Jesus was teaching by example, sharing with his disciples the difference between the physical and the spiritual. Again, back now in John chapter 4. Sharing between the physical and the spiritual. Again, so with the spiritual appetite comes spiritual help. So in talking and conversing with the woman at the well, and again for her, simply coming in to get some water, meeting someone who intrigues her, friendly enough to chat with, brings up a topic that she wouldn't mind having some clarity on. And then again, Jesus kind of cuts through that and gets to the heart of the matter. And she responds, and she responds well. But again, with the spiritual appetite comes spiritual help. So John chapter 14, I'm going to read from verse 23 through 26. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And to kind of put some context to those verses there, again, when the disciples turn away, it's not the 12 there, it's the people following at large. And again, it sorts out those who are just around to kind of to be blessed by God's ministry and feed them, but not the spiritual demand on them and kind of hang around for, okay, well, now you're going to want to find the narrow gate and you're going to find that the path is hard. And again, that's, I think, by and large, why they check out and they go find something else to do. But here is, we're given the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. If you've been here a while, you've likely experienced this yourself in the sense of, again, being taught something and having been reminded of it. Oftentimes, as a new believer, it really is just about consuming as much of the Word as possible that it can get in there, that the Holy Spirit can use it and draw from it to bring it out. And then as you have that appetite and you start consuming, man, this really makes sense. This really intertwines quite nicely on one lesson to another. And then from there, obviously the perspective of each of the passages, a passage like this, again in John chapter 4, 31 through 34, I can remember reading over and over again and just knowing that God was speaking about his word to us, that we are fed by it, that we're not just fed Wednesday, Sundays, that we're not just fed in devotion time in the morning, but part of our diet is to consume the word in study, in understanding of, you know, when I run into this or that at the workplace, when I handle this or that incorrectly and know better, but I don't know what, this is where I'm going to find it. And this is how I'm going to get stronger and sharper and not be the victim of that one way or the other. And with that discernment, again, the Holy Spirit sorting those things out, but bringing to remembrance what God has said. And then also one passage to another, how they, again, lay alongside or enhance one another. And again, the Holy Spirit working all that out with us in our own private time here as a congregation, availing ourselves to the studies, whether it be the teens, the men's, or the women's, and then the events outside of all of that as well. I don't know, some people are given to fellowship, and took me a while, but just how rich it is. Again, having experienced, you know, people I would not be around other than they love Jesus, and I love Jesus, and they eat, and I eat, and we have a table, and they have a vehicle. It works out quite nicely. So, again, not so much at the moment with, you know, all that goes on, you know, life gets busier and so I've heard doesn't get as busy later on, if I heard that correctly. But just the beauty that fellowship, certainly after service, and I'm not saying outside only, but the outside enhances what takes place here at church. For those who plug in, you know, visitor comes, they're led to this church, or you know, or when they come, if they make it known, we pray for them that they would find a church. I don't take for granted that it is here each and every time. But if they stay and they seemingly enjoy being taught and stick around, it's nice to see when they stick around longer and they engage with God's people because they desire it as part of who they are in Christ, that it would feed them and nourish them even further than God's word. Again, the Spirit using all of that to build us up and again to bless one another. But again, back to John 14:26, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You know, some of the evidences of the Spirit dwelling within us. So, remaining Christ-like when the construction company working at the front of your house cuts the internet cable, just like you said was going to happen, they promised you it wouldn't, and there it is. And then it gets fixed. You still don't have internet. So that might be a little too specific for you. So I've got a better one in John 7:38. Might want to highlight it or underline it. John 7:38, he who believes in me, Jesus speaking here, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. All that's wrapped up in that too. It would be, not going to exhaust it this evening, but out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. For a newer believer, it's sharing God's word, enjoying the music, enjoying the fellowship, just being on fire in the sense of, man, this is all so nice. The blues are blue, the greens are green, the air is sweeter, the birds are chirping. Just the blessing it is to be born again, to be awakened, and to make sense of, again, all that goes on spiritually as far as we can understand it. As we grow and walk with the Lord, just how we handle ourselves and carry ourselves, our priorities, what's important to us, what are we interested in, what are we losing interest in, where do we find ourselves, what do we do with our spare time, etc., etc. But again, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So just wanting to share, always wanting to share. I am blessed. I know where I'm going. I know why I'm going there. I know that it won't be taken from me. And I want you to have some of that for yourself too. Because even though you might be happy in the sense of cruising along quite nicely, judgment of God hangs over you. And until you repent, you will be separate from him, and that for eternity. And just the wisdom and discernment that walking with the Lord and having all of this come out of you will bring. So again, you know, even now it's filtering. Well, let's finish. Not finish. Sorry to get your hopes up. Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 24. Finish this point is what I was meaning. So Galatians 5, 22 and 24. Another way of getting the evidence of the Holy Spirit within you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The last part of that in verse 24, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If I was to go on a game show, that's what I would want if I spun the major prize. You can take my flesh, you can keep it, I don't ever want to see it again or know it's anywhere near me. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. To set that as, that's what I'm after. If you'd like to get me for something for Christmas, then you can take away the passions and desires and you can keep the flesh and wrap it all up. Again, back to what we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit. So each of those, you know, love being the ultimate, but each of those having a piece of the pie as well. And not filtering in the sense of, well, I'm okay with peace and I'm okay with faithfulness and that'll do. 2 out of 7 ain't bad. No, that's unfortunately not going to work. To be focused on each and every one of them and to be mindful of them at all times and moving towards maturing into them. Again, an evidence of the Spirit in our life. When we exhibit love and we know it, we thank the Lord for it because that wasn't there last time around. And then when we fall short of love and we know it and we're on guard for it next time around, again, of the joy, you know, just the beauty of the relationship, albeit separate from circumstances. And the joy that being Christ brings in the midst of what might be a pretty tough day or pretty tough week, a pretty tough season of life. You know, thinking of losing a loved one. We're not built for grief, and it's unfortunate that it's part of the human condition. But again, finding joy in life again is a process, and a process worth again being used to pull through. Again, to benefit not just ourselves, but others as well. Well, gentleness, self-control, long-suffering, not being too quick to talk, and again, not being too quick to anger. Yeah, well, I'll let you sort out which one of those is easier for you, because, again, nothing natural in this sense. Some of us are better at these than others, but as far as a whole goes, to be consumed by wanting to improve, again, to bless our Lord. we also want to build our faith over time and circumstance. So again, aging and walking with the Lord, being fed by Him, by His Word, His will for our life. So, you know, thinking of Mary, you know, faith over time and circumstance. So the events of Jesus' birth, the announcements, the sequestering of Mary, the leaping in the womb of John the Baptist as Mary visited Elizabeth. You know, she's living through this herself. And again, on to the wedding at Cana, John chapter 2. I'm just going to read verses 3, 4, and 5 because Mary's there with Jesus. And verse 3, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." But Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." So just the realization on her part of, yeah, I might not have approached correctly. I might have dabbled in business that wasn't mine. I might be trying to pull him into something he doesn't want to do. But whatever he says to you, do it, and it will work out nicely. No problem on her end. I've learned enough, been around enough. I mean, just, you know, having kids, leaving one at the temple, and the day and the 3-day journey, you know, there, back, and finding and all the rest of it. I mean, that would be nerve-wracking. I know it's a different time. It's a lot safer, no vehicles and all that type of stuff. But even still, it's like, I'm glad she went through that. so real events and real lessons of people's faith in action. Pretty well-known one's going to be Matthew chapter 15, 21 through 28. It's the woman that has to go through a lot to get her desire. Matthew 15, 21 through 28, I'll read it to you. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Again, a real woman in a real instance of life, seeking from Jesus the healing that she desired for her daughter. Also not knowing if he would, knowing that he could, knowing that he was the only one that could, recognizing him as the only one that could, but also not knowing and pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing. "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." Again, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. real faith in action. You know, thinking of the teens, teaching the teens and having some myself and being around the children's ministry and all, just the seeing the raw struggle of life in Christ and learning that God is not applying for the job he is, and also that he knows and we are learning. Not being too harsh on the teens, because essentially we're all in that boat, right? But just seeing the rawness of coming out of, I mean, being told everything. You must do this, you have to do this. All of the you can't do this and how that, you know, impacts their blossoming lives. And just knowing that the struggle of it has to make sense, the struggle of I want to understand why you're telling me this and why that's expected of me. Again, because as we come to God's word, it not be natural that we automatically agree with every single thing all the time. That it be a struggle day after day to submit to it, to remember it, to submit to it, and to know that it's for our benefit. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. And again, what's exalted? What do we exalt? What do we hold dear? What do we hold up as sacred in the sense of our life? If it's listening to this or that, these or them, versus again listening to the Lord and what he would have for us. Verse 4, so Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. He also taught me and said to me, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her." Again, Solomon here speaking of his father's instructions to him. But, you know, as a 18, a 16, even a 14-year-old, you know, 25-year-old, what would you like? "Well, I think, Dad, that wisdom is the principal thing. So I'd like to get wisdom. And in all my getting, I would therefore like to get understanding. And in all your getting, I want..." I mean, just no kid talks like that, right? Would be nice, because you'd look back on your history, you see the opportunity that's in front of them, you understand the process of, well, now you're finding out that, you know, you desire this and that, now you're finding out the struggle of what it means to walk after the Lord, but it doesn't give an excuse that it's okay to learn by experience when you've got people and again, God's word that loves you, for you to simply go about it in your own strength and your own devices. Each individual makes the choices here. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Being exhorted to hold in high regard wisdom and understanding, that it would also act as a safeguard. You know, to be able to sit and to know that, well, if now's not the time for this in my life, then I'm good with that, and the Lord will bring it along if he sees fit in the way that, again, is best for me. And that would be nice to download and just be off and running in that sense. Because everyone's got war stories and battle scars and all the rest of it. And there is a process to life in the sense of you're just not going to sit on the couch and listen to it all and then go live it out. But it is unfortunate if you're one that, you know, has to learn by the wrong way when you've got such an advantage around you of not just people that love you, but the word to be, again, absorbed and find yourself falling short of it. We all do. We all do. It's just, again, part of a fallen nature that, again, the heartache of a parent for a child. But, yep. It's not the end of the story, thankfully, in the sense they grow up and grow on and hopefully do well. So going on to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13 and 13, 14, and 15. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the devil. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. You know, as you learn about people and what they say and who they are, you know, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits and how easy it is to be persuaded with their words versus looking at the fruits. Well, I want to see fruit in your life that I could, again, kind of be settled on the fact that I could believe that. But you say this and you act this way, so I don't know what to make of that. And again, just the persuasion of the crowd, peer pressure, on and on we could go. Not going to, but part of the reward in Proverbs there, chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. It is beautiful in the sense of we see glimpses of it. Not absolute that every day of the believer shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. We can all attest to that. But as we look back on the years of God's faithfulness, as we look forward to, again, what we desire and then what he brings about in our life as we're submitted to him, looking back and enjoying, again, and what's in front of us of eternity to come. John chapter 4, verse 34, the last part of that verse there, and to finish his work. You know, the desire that we have for purpose, the desire that we have for spiritual purpose, not just to be fed, not just to be happy, not just to be contented, not just to be, again, comforted, but to finish his work, that we may, again, find that for our and in our lives, and then live on to achieve more and more. So James chapter 4, if you're taking notes, verse 5, and then I'll read 7 through 10. James chapter 4, verse 5, or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns earnestly? And I do believe the believer feels that too, in the sense of there might be seasons in our life where we, again, we look back and we enjoy what's taken place. We look back on, well, this or that, and then we look forward to, but the spirit in us yearning jealously is for, again, as we see what holds us back, our sinful passions, our fleshly desires, and it does seem trivial, but it isn't, obviously, as we can all attest to. It is a fight, and it is a battle, and it is one that we are fitted for, but does certainly not come easily. And it seems when one area of life is going well, then the others are less attended, and you got to go back and the maintenance in there, and then just the maintenance overall, again, responsibility just is nice to have, because everyone does enjoy a hard day's work, right? As hard as it may be, it feels good to sleep well. But again, just the work involved and the preparation that can take place, because it doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere. I'm just preparing, I'm preparing, I'm preparing. And then, again, just the enjoyment that looking back can bring in the sense of, well, I didn't think I was that far along, and here I am, just enjoying God's presence. And again, situation or conversation came up in mind, and Spirit spoke through me to that other person, and it was just nice to be out of the way and enjoy the process of that. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. So some helpful goals. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. verse 7 and 8, and then on to 10. Resisting the devil and he will flee. Well, there's the connotation and the understanding that he's coming back. And it might not be 2 minutes, might not be 2.5 minutes, but it's generally soon, and over the process may go. And just again within that part of that fight, that's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. You know, having a lax attitude towards sin, just, you know, with the kids in there on Sunday, and just God's perspective of sin and us needing to have our perspective of sin line up, not just loosely or not just around about-ish, but perfectly with God's interpretation of sin. Again, he's not applying, he isn't learning, we are. So, you know, in his attitude towards sin, it cost him his only begotten son. In his attitude towards sin, there's none of it in heaven at all. And again, for us, knowing that the bar is there, again, as we sin, and knowing that it's coming, but not giving in to, again, laying down and being victimized by it, not being okay that we're used to sin. And the recognition that, again, that's what it has cost our Savior. So if that's what it's cost him, that he would be on that cross for me, and that he would be held there because of his desire to see the work through, then that's going to be my opinion, and I want to adopt that opinion of sin, not just kind of be lackadaisical about it, not allow sin to take root in my life and to, again, have a corner of it. You know, in verse 10, sorry, James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And again, back to the feast, you know, instead of taking that higher place and that higher table, you know, just finding out, you know, well, where can I sit that I won't be too much in the way and won't draw too much attention? And you sit there and then find yourself being promoted. And the Lord does that so faithfully, but on his timetable, not ours. John, back to John chapter 4, verse 32. Again, while the disciples were out buying food, Christ was there winning souls. And again, for us as a believer, having a growing spiritual appetite. Over time, you know, it should progress from what we and who we hold dear to whosoever God holds dear. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart. Our heart and attitude towards God, I think, wrapped up in Matthew 25, verse 8 through 13, if you're taking notes. Wicks trimmed and oil in reserve. So, again, the example that Jesus has given. I've got to do some math because of the timer. I think we have the time. So, Matthew 25, verse 8 through 13. I'll read it to you. Jesus is speaking. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. You know, the 10 maidens go out looking for the bridegroom. They've got their wicks trimmed, and they go out not knowing how long it will take, or not knowing whether the bridegroom will tarry. And he does, and they take some sleep. And there's some that have oil in reserve and others that are unprepared. So, again, the reward goes to those who had the head in the game and went about serving and serving well, and not just, again, be out for what might be a short trip, but be out for the long haul of I want to find the bridegroom and I want to be ready when he comes. Luke 12, 35 and 36, Jesus speaking, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. And just the anticipation, kind of like watching the door and being a crouching tiger, ready to pounce of, out of my way, everyone else, I got it. Instead of, is it someone at the door? Oh, it's you. Yeah, have you been out there long? Again, opening immediately. The heart, the condition of our heart and our attitude of wanting to open, wanting to please, wanting to, again, be used. I don't want the Lord using someone else. I want him using me. I'm not going to push you aside, probably, but I do want him to use me. Again, because each of us have different talents. I mean, serving in the church, for those who end up, you know, over the years choosing not to, the gifts that we miss out on, and it's not meant to be, and yet there it is. Jesus goes on in verse 35 through 38, and we will finish up very shortly. So verse 35 through 38, Jesus speaking here, "Do you not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." So again, the disciples are on the way. They go in to get lunch. They come back. He's already eaten. He's quite well satisfied. They're in the midst of a lesson and they don't know it. He's teaching them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Maybe they got perspective right there. They surely did after the fact as well. And then in the years to come, and here we are gaining perspective from it, hopefully also. But Jesus here saying, you know, in the midst of Samaria, I can't see the disciples in town, you know, chit-chatting, shooting the breeze. They're in town in the midst of Samaria. They just want to get some grub and get out. I don't want to chit-chat. I don't follow your team. I don't like your, you know, your unleavened bread or whatever you eat. Mine's better and all the rest of it. So they're in the midst of daily life and somewhat focused on what they've got in front of them, which is fine because it's just who we are and what we do. But here Jesus calls them higher and teaches them further and deeper. My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and not just to do the will, but to finish his work. And then he goes on to them, and you want harvest, and yet we're in the midst of a harvest right here. And I'm, again, just sitting back after that, eating your snack and seeing what has taken place, thinking about it, meditating on it, you know, the next day or the day after, and being able to see it in action and just thinking to yourself, wow, this is really nice. I like this, and I want more. And here we are essentially doing the same thing. I don't just like learning. I want to put it into practice, again, that I may learn and sharpen better to be used more. Proverbs 23:23. And in speaking in Proverbs tonight, you know, it's easy to say, get wisdom, get understanding. It is easy to say that, especially, you know, with the teens and the younger ones in mind. Because again, the struggle of, well, I've got to work through who I am in Christ. I've got to understand, you know, what I want to know and what I believe and what I don't believe and why I don't and all the rest of it. And that's good because you're your own free agent. You have free will. God doesn't want just robotic obedience. He wants submission. And part of submission is that I have learned. I have paid attention enough to learn, not just to ignore, not just to, you know, be submitted to that which I'm okay with and not be submitted to that which, you know, I don't want to do and so forth. So again, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, "Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." So again, what we hold dear is again the example of what God holds dear, and through this exhortation of getting wisdom, getting understanding, buy the truth and do not sell it, the spiritual side of our life, that it would nourish us again as our food, as our very necessary, very daily food in Christ. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Father, very much for this time in your house, Lord, worshiping you, and thank you indeed for ministering to us. Do pray you get us home safely, and we do look forward to worshiping, Lord, again in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.